Isn't it neat to know how everyone has a story, a testimony? Here we see Ryan coming in, playing his guitar, and I think he's probably raised in a Christian home. And you hear the rest of the story, and God gets glory from that, and that's a blessing. Joshua chapter 4 tonight. Knobs are down south with Miss Connie. I think they're just visiting, but just pray they don't see anything nice. See vacancies and anyways. I'll just pray for them. They should be back, I think Wednesday is when they come back, not Friday. What is it? Tomorrow night? Okay. All right. He was supposed to leave Wednesday, and he left a day later, and he was trying to finish up that bathroom, I think. Joshua chapter 4, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people and out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm, 12 stones, and carry ye them, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in a lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, I pray that you'd use our message and our sermon tonight to help us evaluate ourselves, comparing what it is to accomplishing your will. Lord, again, we thank you for, Lord, the testimony that was given tonight. Thank you for the song that was sung. And Lord, I pray that the worship time was pleasing to you. Lord, we sure do love you, and we're thankful that you make your presence known to us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua chapter 4 is what? Well, they crossed over Jordan, right? They're done. They've crossed it, and here they are, and God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a memorial so you can take your kids back and remind them. And he says, how this goes is there's 12 tribes, and I want you to take a man out of every tribe. And everyone grabs a stone, and they come, and they make an altar here, or make a memorial for it. In verse 4, it says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. What was the responsibility going to be of this man? To do what? Carry a rock. Joshua has to prepare the men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel. And their responsibility was to carry a rock. I don't know if they had to do push-ups before. I don't know if there was tryouts. I don't know. Okay. I know you want to, sir, but I don't think you can carry this rock. No, I can't try it. Okay. And he only made it halfway. No, he cannot. I'm sorry, you're not one of the prepared men to carry a rock. We prepare for a lot of things. The World Cup is going on right now, and those guys, on average, how much do they run a game? A lot, like 12 miles or 10 miles, something like that, throughout one game. And they play game after game after game. You don't just go do that. Brother Bauman, you and I can't just go do that. I couldn't just run it, much less touch the ball, day after day. These men had to prepare. But God says, I want you to prepare 12 men to carry a rock. See, the work of the Lord takes preparation. And if men had to be prepared to carry a rock, well, there's certainly other things that we need to be prepared for. Go to 2 Peter. Chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count in slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In our Sunday school class, we talked about the revealed will of God. What is God's will for all mankind? Well, one of which was that we are to be thankful. But the other is that all men to be saved. God has made a way. We talked about it this morning. It's not that God's grace has run out upon man. I'm sorry, the oil is gone. No, it's just that the vessels are no longer presented before him. God is very willing that all should come to repentance. So if I take these two thoughts, God desires that all men to be saved. And if it's important for a man to be prepared to just move a rock, surely I should prepare myself in completing God's will for my life and aiding or having your hand in those coming to Christ. So how do you prepare to win souls? Ever get into a situation where you were unprepared? Today, Brother Burkhart and I, both our vehicles have check engine lights on, right? Well, I have a little less knowledge of what that means. So he said, "Hey, I got to check mine out. Why don't you bring yours over?" I said, "Great, we'll go right from church and we'll go right over." And he's like, "No." I said, "Okay." I said, "What's the plan?" Well, he's like, "I got to go home and get changed. I'm not prepared for that." He's like, "And neither are you." Ever get into a situation that you were unprepared for? That's an awful feeling, isn't it? Oh, I wish maybe some students have taken a test before. Oh, I wish I would have listened to Pastor Russo and studied. That would make this so much easier. I guess just briefly looking over my notes wasn't enough. I am unprepared. Some students have even tried to give them back. Right, Wesley? Like, "I'm not ready for this test. Here, take it back." "Well, I've already given it to you." "Yes, but I'm going to get a zero. I don't know anything." And that awful feeling, right, of not being prepared. Wouldn't it be awful, Chase, if there you are, standing in line at the shopping center, wherever it is, Walmart, you got 10 minutes in Walmart lines. There you are, and you're waiting, and you hear the people behind you talking, and the one says to the other, I just don't know if there's a heaven or not. And I don't know. I was talking to someone and they don't know. And you hear this. I don't have gospel tracts. I don't know. I don't know the verses on heaven. And all of a sudden you find yourself wanting to do something, but you can't because you're not prepared. That's an awful feeling. That's an awful guilty feeling. Because there you are going and pushing your cart away, knowing that someone's questioning something about the Word of God. And you don't feel like you're ready to handle that. So, if God is not willing that any should perish, and Joshua looked for some prepared men, well then maybe there's some preparation that we can do to be better soul winners. Be ready for it. Number one, spiritually prepare. 1 John chapter 1. We have 3 points tonight. Spiritually prepare, mentally prepare, and physically prepare. The first point is the longest, and it's not even that long. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do I spiritually prepare to be a soul winner? Well, number one, I get clean. I confess my sin. Sin is the very thing that'll keep a soul out of hell. Correct? Right? You heard Brother Ryan's testimony. He was a sinner, didn't need convincing of that. But what are we going to tell people about? We go and we hand out gospel tracts or invites to church or something of the sort. And here on the back is the plan of salvation. How many times do you need to get saved? How many times? Okay, you had your hand up. I thought you were raising it. It's blocking the sun. How's that? Is that better? Okay. Noel says one time. You only have to get saved one time. So what is 1 John 1:9 all about? If we confess our sins, do I continue sinning after I get saved? Do you? Yes, we do. Not trick questions. We continue sinning after we get saved. So what does that do? Does that take us to hell? Do we need to do this again? No. But it does break fellowship. It does break fellowship. And to be close with the Lord, and to be able to walk with God, well, we need to confess our sins. And He's faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know who has the hardest time forgiving us of our sins? Us. God's good at forgiving of sins. He actually, honestly, Caleb, treats us like we've never sinned. When we confess our sins, He really does clean us up. It's us that carries the guilt of the sin. Oh, there's no way He could forgiven me. He certainly hasn't forgotten. He knows everything. But it says that He has. To spiritually prepare to be a soul winner, we need to confess our sins. We need to make sure we're right with the Lord. That's why we have prayer meeting before we go out door to door. Say, oh, you just use prayer meeting so when people are late, they actually show up at 10 o'clock. So then if you say it's 9:30, they come wandering in at about 9:45, 10:10, they're ready for... No. We really want to have prayer meeting before we go out door to door because it's important to confess our sins. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. To spiritually prepare, I need to confess my sins. Number two, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not only do we need to confess our sins, we need to surrender our life to Him. We need to completely empty ourselves of our own personal wills and desires and allow God to use us. It is not until we're fully emptied is until we can be truly full of the Holy Ghost. Again, I don't know how you run your house or whatever, but, you know, our kitchen table is right in our kitchen, and it's right by the sink. And so with so many kids, you know, they have cups, and sometimes the cups just sit on the counter. You know, for the most part, we just drink water. It's not like anything else. But every now and then, one of the kids will have some milk, and then another kid comes, and they take the old milk cup, you know, that was sitting there that looks good, and they put water in it. I'm like, oh, don't drink that. It's you know, it's like chalky, you know, in there. And they're like, ah, it's fine. That's like skim milk in there. That's what that is. That's nasty. It hadn't fully been emptied of what didn't belong. Therefore, it can't be truly full of what it should be. And a lot of times we come to the Lord and we remove some of the things out of our life, but we're never completely emptied of ourself. Truly surrendering our life to the Lord means that I am empty so that the Holy Spirit of God can then fill me. To be full of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that I can speak in a foreign tongue or heal. It means that I've emptied myself of me. Spiritually prepared. Joshua had to prepare men to move a rock. Surely I could take some time to prepare over the souls of men. Confess our sins. We surrender. Number three. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A good soul winner needs to study their Bible. I was new in kind of to soul winning. I was newer in Bible Institute, and there we were. I thought I knew it all. And we were out and saw some Jehovah Witnesses and went and started up a conversation with them. And it wasn't too long where I had to back out of the conversation because I was in way over my head. So I went home and I studied. I had an answer when they had questions. That's an awful feeling to not have an answer when someone asks you a question. The Bible tells us to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. If one of our young people, if Chase, raised his hand and said, I'd like to be saved tonight. Hey, I need someone to lead Chase to the Lord. Can anyone come up? You go. Would we have to have, I'm sorry, no, okay, we got it. Do you know the Bible to be able to lead someone to the Lord? Could you show someone from the Scriptures what it means to be saved? Say, I've never done that before. Well, maybe you've never done that before because you're not prepared to do it. You've not studied the Scriptures out. Say, can you help me with that? How do I do that? Yeah, grab one of those little red books that Mr. Giannetto puts together. It has an excellent layout of the plan of salvation, and just memorize all those verses. Start at Romans 3:10. Start at Exodus 20 if you need to show them the breaking of the law. And just go spot by spot. Go out with the soul winner. Listen to what they say. But study the Word of God. Personally, learn about the Lord. How could you tell someone about someone you don't know? We all have favorite ball players or baseball players, and we can list their stats. But personally, could you tell them about? No, because you've never spent time with them. So how can I tell someone at their door or at a table about someone that I don't even know? Well, how do I get to know them? By studying the Word of God. How do I know the difference between right and wrong? Through the Word of God. See, the Word of God is the final authority. So when someone says, well, what do you think? Well, here, let me show you what the Bible says. Well, what does the Bible say about drinking? What do you think? Is it wrong to drink? Well, let's see what the Scripture says. Is it okay to do this or is it okay to do that? Well, I believe that we're all going to heaven. Well, let me show you what the Scripture says. And then, Brother Primer, it's not me against what you're saying. It's what the final authority says. The Scriptures say. See, the power lies in the Word of God. And if we're there going to be to argue, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but hey, you got to know the Bible to be able to talk to someone about the Bible. Brother Parrott, what did you go graduate from college with? What was your degree?
Bachelor's in Science and
Electrical. Great. I could talk to you zero about that. Science, I know the word science, and I know electrical because it gives me light. But the details of that, I've never studied that. Therefore, I cannot communicate with you on that level. Or many other levels. How are we expected to be able to communicate the truths and the principles of the Word of God if we do not study? Say, Pastor Russo, that's why we come to church. You got to study your Bible outside of church. If this is the only Bible reading that you do is the passages that we do on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, you're hurting yourself. Hey, that's great that you come to church three times a week. And that's good. But study the Scriptures. Study them. Read. What does that word mean? Rightly dividing the word of truth? What is that even talking about? Oh, that's a whole different study. Go to James 1:22. I'll read it to you. I'm there. I had a perfect turn. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hey, as we learn the word of God, it is going to give us a burden in our hearts to tell others about it. Spiritually prepare. Confess our sins, surrender, study God's word. And number four, pray. Why pray? Because that strengthens your relationship with God Himself. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So what does the soul winner's prayer sound like? Maybe you're praying for a desire to win souls. Could it be that we talk to no one about Jesus this week because we have no desire to talk to anybody about Jesus? Do you think if that's the case, we should pray and ask the Lord to help us with that? Lord, give me a desire to win souls. I'm not trying to guilt you into coming out on Saturdays. I'm talking about being a soul winner all the time. But I dare say if I announced on Wednesday night, hey, anybody that comes Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to give out $100 to everyone that comes, you'd figure out a way to get here. I'm not guilting you into it. I'm just saying it would benefit you. I would be there because I want $100. Maybe we don't tell other people about the Lord because we have no desire to see souls saved. Maybe we need to pray. God, give me a desire to save souls. Give me compassion for the lost. You heard Brother Ryan where he was at. I'm thankful for Grayson. You know Grayson, right? He's about 5 cards short of a full deck. Not 1 card, like 5. In compassion that runs laps around me. You know what he saw? He saw his friend that needed Christ. Maybe I need to pray for some compassion like that. Because sin is ugly. And the effects of sin are ugly. So you surround yourself around that and you get around that. Lord, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to give me compassion for that because that's not something I love. Compassion for the lost. How about praying for people by name we want to lead to the Lord? What does your prayer list look like of people that need to be saved? Do we pray for opportunities to win souls? How about praying for boldness? Those are some things that we could prepare for. Hey guys, it's time to go to the store. Let's take a minute and let's pray that God would allow our path to cross, the right person to give this gospel tract to, and if the opportunity arises, we'll be able to tell them about Christ. Lord, give us boldness. Hey, we're going out. Pray for that. Spiritually prepared. Point number 2. Mentally prepare. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Wise. Wisdom is held in the mind. You know what's difficult? Making a complete stranger know that you care about them. Because you have no time. You have no past. You have no previous opportunities to show that. So how do you make someone, or how do you help someone know that you care about them? You listen. You listen to them. Benjamin, where do you live? Okay, whatever. I have something important to tell you. No. Benjamin, tell me about your family. What do you have? Brothers, sisters? What's going on over there? You have three brothers? Two brothers, one sister. I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Two brothers, that's great. And now you're in the middle somewhere? Yeah, sort of. Okay. Are you the oldest? Are you the youngest? So you're probably in the middle somewhere. All right, good. And we start talking and listening. Listening. See, we just want to tell what we have to tell. Listen, are you gonna allow me to share the gospel or not? Because if you're not, I'm gonna go find someone that does. And we're ready to move on. We are efficient. But we fail to connect. So we need to mentally prepare. I need to shut my mouth and listen. I need to gain trust. How do I do that? By being friendly and courteous. As you're walking up to someone's house, you don't walk through their flower bed. There you are, you're talking to them and the cat, meow. You don't do that. Aiden and Jaden's house. What's that little dog? Angel? Not an angel. How many of you have been bitten by Angel? Yeah, sure. Thank you. Hands all over. They're like, oh, he's harmless. Ow! Oh, he's so cute. Friendly. Courteous. Hello, sir. How are you? My name is... You introduce yourself. I'm from... These are... We're out in the neighborhood and we're inviting people to church. Do you go to church anywhere? No, when I was... And they start telling a story. Listen. Listen to what they have to say. You're about to hear the barrier that's holding them up from coming to Christ. Might want to pay attention to that. Be genuine. And compliment them. I was telling our young adults class, we were going through Hamlin yesterday, and we walked up to a house, and the house on the back, it caught my eye right away. On the back windshield, Cleveland Indians decal. I'm like, either they bought that car used or these are my kind of people. We go up to the house and what do they have flying out in front? Say it. A flag. A Cleveland Indians flag. Huh. They weren't home, but we are going back. I have Cleveland Indians gospel tracks. We're ready. We're ready. They were at the game. That's why that, yeah. There you go. Hey, I got something to talk about with them. Sam had his Indians hat and shirt on right there. Talk about interests. That's how you gain trust. Don't argue. No one wins arguments. Listen. Avoid off-topic conversations. Do you believe that it was a worldwide flood or just a local flood? Or how? Hey, let's go back to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 again. Because the devil used a lot of distractions to get you off that Romans road. Does it really matter at that point whether... I believe it was both. It was both locally and worldwide. Neither. I don't believe in the flood. I don't know. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Do you think that God can make a rock so big? You know, those questions that just don't make any sense. Stay away from those. But you have to be mentally prepared because they're such easy traps. What do you think about music? Oh, I got thoughts about music. What about dress? Is that really the biggest problem? Brother Ryan said it tonight. Hey, it's good to give someone a meal and a warm bed to stay in, but Really, the problem is sin, and they need Christ. And you got to mentally prepare. You need to be wise with that for an opportunity. Thirdly and lastly, physically prepare. Bring a pleasant presence. That's why I bring my kids. They just smile. That's all they do. They just stand there and smile. Just be pleasant. Smile. Have your clothing be neat, modest, clean. Be clean yourself. Coming to the door with grease streaks across your face. Hey, we just had our football tournament. I'm going to go soul winning. No, you smell. You're dirty. Yeah, but the gospel. Yeah, the gospel can wait a minute. It waited while you were at the football tournament. You're fine. Go get cleaned up. It's a misrepresentation of Christ. I'm not saying you got to come in a three-piece suit, but look right. Have fresh breath. That Listerine makes a series of things that could really help in a lot of areas, mainly in the bad breath area. They have Listerine tabs. They have little portable mouthwash. They have brushes that you can put paste on and just scrub your teeth. And you smell delightful. Hey, that's important when you're talking to someone. And if you notice that they keep doing this, you got a problem. Because they're not hearing anything. You need to physically prepare. Mentally prepare. Help us to spiritually prepare. Hey, those prayers, those are important to pray. So I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how to start talking to someone. I'll give you a quick pointer and then we'll be done. How to start talking to someone that you've never met or don't know. Ask them about their family. Everybody loves talking about their family. Now, there's going to be times when, you know, there was a circumstance or, you know, oh, my, you know, wife just left me and I don't, okay. But for the most part, people like talking about their family. You get to learn about them. Oh, do they live in town or out of town? How nice. What do they, talk about their occupation. People want to know. They like talking about what they do. I like learning about what you do. Because it tells me who you are. And then, after you've spoken about their family, spoken about occupations, maybe similar interests, and start talking about spiritual matters. Didn't we see Christ do that with the woman at the well? He starts talking about water and pots, and then all of a sudden he transitions into the gospel. And then get to the message. Family, occupation, religion, and then the message. It spells the word form. It's easy to remember. It's really easy to do. Right? I was just talking to Benjamin. Tell me about your brothers, sisters. Oh, well, tell me about your older brother. What does he do? Well, he sits right next to me all the time. Okay, wow, that's great. Do you guys share clothes, share room? What do you do? What do you like to do? What do you do? Do you work? No, you do. Oh, sometimes. Good. I'm from Walker Bible Baptist Church, and we're having a special day. Do you go to church anywhere? No, actually, my family and I, we were talking about we're looking for a church. It's great because you've already broken down some barriers. You've connected. You've connected talking about family. You've connected talking about occupation. Now you're ready to start talking about the message. And if you don't get an opportunity to go through all that, hey, leave it open for the next guy. Hey, unless you get saved right now, you're going to split hell wide open and burn forever. Don't have that conversation, okay? Because you can't guarantee that. So when that doesn't happen, that person's going to be like, that guy's a kook, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. Hey, if they're impolite, you just be polite. Be careful not to get sarcastic and mean. That's my thing, right? So if someone starts saying mean things about the Lord or Christianity or whatever, I want to respond and tell them what I really think. But that's not going to help in 5 years when they're at a low spot and they need the Lord and they associate Christ with that comment. See, you could undo a lot of someone's witnessing in just a moment. Not being prepared. Emptied of self, full of the Holy Spirit of God. Compassion for the lost. If I have compassion towards someone, it totally changes how I treat them and see them. Say, where does that come from? It comes from Christ. It comes from God Himself. Because naturally, the person I care for most about is me. All right, let's all stand. How to be better soul winners. We need to be prepared. Prepared spiritually, prepared mentally, and to prepare physically. So this week, can I encourage you to take a couple gospel tracts out? They're so nice and happy, right, Haley? Yeah. Haley agreed. These are the nicest, happiest summer gospel tracts that we have seen in Walker all our life. And they're happy. And if nothing else, it's a combination of